welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, January 7, 2021. Ugandan government releases 13 South Sudanese bandits arrested for illegal entry into Uganda and possessing firearms.
There has been several incidences along the border. We have lost life. We have lost properties, ranging from animals to household property.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The U.S. Secretary of Treasury visited Sudan on Wednesday and signed two agreements with Sudan's transitional government. The agreement comprised of a memorandum of understanding to provide Sudan with $1 billion that will clear its arrears with the World Bank, and another agreement known as Abrahamic Accords Declaration with Sudan's Justice Minister. The accord makes peace between Sudan and Israel. A Khartoum-based analyst says his visit is significant and will help Sudan's economy in the long run by opening doors for finances from international institutions and direct foreign investments. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
Mnuchin signed the MOU with Sudan's acting finance minister, Hiba Mohammed Ali. The U.S. Treasury Secretary says the $1 billion loan will clear Sudan's debt with the World Bank and open doors for acquiring development funds and direct foreign investment.
It was a great pleasure that we could sign the Memorandum of Understanding for a bridge loan from the United States for a little over $1 billion to clear the arrears of the World Bank. There's still some work that I know that needs to be done on the exchange rate, but once that's complete, you'll be able to use this, draw it down, clear the arrears, and that will create significant positive opportunities for Sudan.
This marks the first visit by a senior U.S. official since Sudan was removed from the U.S. list of state sponsors of terrorism in mid-December. The move reestablishes economic ties between Sudan and the U.S. after 27 years of isolation. Sudan Acting Finance Minister Hiba Mohammed Ali said at the signing ceremony in Khartoum, the agreement will benefit Sudan greatly.
Restoring Sudan's ability to get financing from the international financial institutions, an important achievement for the transitional government, is an important step for our country towards debt relief and accessing grants from the International Development Association to finance infrastructure projects.
Mnuchin also signed the Abrahamic Accords Declaration with Sudan's Justice Minister Nasruddin Abdul Bari, who says the agreement was an initiative by the U.S. administration to promote peace, reconciliation, and respect among different peoples in the region.
Through this declaration, we welcome the warming up of relations between Israel and countries in the region, and also the start of diplomatic relations on our part, which we will work on in the near future.
In recent months, the Trump administration has brokered peace agreements between Israel and a number of Arab countries under the Abrahamic Accords, which includes Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Morocco. Mnuchin says the agreement will benefit both Sudan and Israel.
I think this is a very, very significant agreement. This is now the third that I've participated in being part of the signing.
Khartoum-based economic analyst Samah Salman says the U.S. loan will open doors for financing, something she says Sudan sorely needs.
We're currently suffering from a struggling economy saddled by $60 billion of foreign debt, about a quarter of which is in arrears. So it comes to about $15 to $16 billion of the $60 billion is in arrears, which is really serious. The government has a huge budget deficit. The 2021 national budget is only being approved this week. And the country is in a situation of widespread shortages of essential goods, including fuel, bread, and medicine.
Salman says once Sudan starts accessing foreign financing, it can embark on developing its agricultural sector, electricity, and infrastructure, something she says Sudan has not been able to do since the 1990s. But she says Sudan's transitional government must commit to reforming and rebuilding local industries, not just rely on external support. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
Still in U.S., the U.S. Capitol was put on lockdown on Wednesday as crowds protesting President-elect Joe Biden's victory breached security barricades while Congress was debating the certification of his election's win over President Donald Trump.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved. Our country has had enough. We will not take it anymore. And that's what this is all about.
From U.S., we move to Uganda, where Ugandan security personnel have released 13 suspected South Sudanese bandits. They were arrested last year by Uganda Defense Forces for illegal entry and possessing firearms along the border districts of Lamwa and Kitgum. Ugandan authorities have asked officials in South Sudan to prosecute the suspects. For VOA News, Catherine Nambi reports from Kampala.
The suspects reportedly entered Uganda more than 2 months ago to steal animals and other property. Security officials arrested them and found they had 4 guns, grenades, and 23 rounds of ammunition, among other items. The suspects have been in Ugandan detention centers, but a meeting of Ugandan and South Sudanese officials brought their release. William Komakech is the Kitgum Resident District Commissioner. He led the Ugandan delegation to the meeting.
There has been several incidences along the border. We have lost life. We have lost properties, ranging from animals to household properties. So to me, I am glad that today we are meeting. It should set a milestone in our life. If us as Uganda, with all the means, would preserve the lives of the 13 people, why should they come and kill us? The killing should stop. The looting should stop today. We are one people. If you go to the border here, you find one man as a woman on the other side and another woman this side. Why should we really kill ourselves?
Brigadier William Bainomugisha is the commander of the 5th Infantry Division of the Uganda People's Defense Force. He called on South Sudan authorities to disarm their nationals.
We disarm nobody. Nobody should support card any, especially the gun. But on our side, they are able to cross with the guns and what, and when they are not a government, not the soldier or even the police.
Alphonse Muraz is a member of parliament in South Sudan's Eastern Equatorial State. He blames the repeated infiltration of South Sudanese into Uganda on the continued conflict at home.
When our people are in conflict, down at the grassroots, they also take opportunity of entering anywhere they want because there's no control. The focus now is all trying to solve this conflict which is in South Sudan. That's why Uganda is part of it, trying to solve the issue of South Sudan. And we have been appreciating the effort that Uganda is doing. And we still continue asking Uganda to support us to bring peace in South Sudan. I think if South Sudan attain peace, the way you Ugandan have peace, I think all the efforts will be implemented.
Auxilio Odum, also with the South Sudan team, says there needs to be a continued dialogue on how to eliminate the intrusions.
I want to apologize on behalf of the government of Eastern Equatorial State. Sorry, Malice, forgive us. And we thank you for having kept them alive, sound, and healthy. South Sudan, in particular, is focusing now on peace. And is working very hard to ensure that peace is attained in the country. That is why we accept to always come for dialogue. We will not accept any other means that does not bring peace between the two countries.
Alberio Tabilio Oromo is the former governor of Tarit State in South Sudan. He said all the suspects will be brought to court, but prosecutors need to have the guns back to use as evidence.
Case will be opened against them of crossing the border with firearms and all this, and then they will be produced to court of law. Now, the lawyer will say, where is the evidence? We need the evidence. Where is the guns? And then there, they will be released. And when they are released, they will go and make it again.
Ugandan authorities say the firearms will not be returned for security reasons and that they are undertaking forensic investigations. The porous boundary between the two countries has seen a growing influx of armed men from South Sudan into Uganda's border districts of Lamu and Kitgum. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Sudanese education officials are reiterating the need for a new curriculum to match changes in the country. Sudanese Minister for General Education says the new curriculum should educate students on social equality, patriotism, and peace building. He says students should also have access to the same technology currently available around the world. The minister criticized the previous administration for introducing a curriculum that does not allow students to be innovative. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Professor Omar Garay, who headed the National Curriculum and Research Institute and was tasked with designing the new curriculum, has resigned today. Garay cited lack of concern from Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok. Garay says it is not easy to change the mindset of the people who lived under authoritarian rule for three decades. This week, at the start of a three-day conference in Khartoum, General Education Minister Muhammad Lamine Atom said the government must establish a new school curriculum that reflects the political and social changes in Sudan since the 2019 revolution.
We need a general education system that serves the new society in the country. A society that lives a democratic life, believes in justice, rule of law, social cohesion, peaceful coexistence, and a society that is harmonious with the external world.
Sudan's education ministry adopted the system of 6 years in primary, 3 years in intermediate, and 3 years in secondary school instead of 8 years of primary and 3 years of secondary after the revolution, which is expected to begin this year. Speaking at the same conference, now the resigned official Omar Garay said he has received several threats over the new curriculum, which reduce the Quranic verses in the textbooks, which he says the threat will not stop the move towards real change.
It's true that the curriculum is the work of the special committees, but we have instructed these committees to involve citizens and parents. We are aware that supporters of the previous system of the government will criticize any new curriculum so as to push for keeping their old curriculum.
Habib Adam, a secondary school physics teacher in Khartoum, says the new curriculum should match ongoing technology around the world.
We need to establish a new curriculum that expresses objectives and aspirations of our people based on freedom, justice, and peace. This conference is timely so that we are able to innovate and suggest new ways of a quick learning process for our students. Our students need to be able to acquire basic skills for the 21st century.
Father Diago Dale, a Catholic priest who represents the Sudan Council of Churches in the Curriculum Committee, says the church is ready to collaborate with the government on overhauling Sudan's education system. He says Sudan is a multi-religion country and imposing one religion on the whole country will not work.
We have some ideas and we have some proposals we wanted to put forward, and they were going that line whereby we don't impose one view, but we say, okay, Sudan is a plural society, and also in Christianity there are different ways, and we are okay with that.
Islamic extremists recently criticized Professor Omar Garay for using some pictures of half-naked people in the new textbooks and demand that Garay be fired. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, some hotels in South Sudan's capital say the government has not paid its bills for years. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
Is there something about yourself that you would like to change?
Definitely not. No, because at least I know my life has been good. I've not been entertaining bad company. So to maybe to change my life, I need to start making at least new friends again.
Life is all about learning. We learn every day. So in as much as we are still breathing, there are things we need to shed off.
Currently, I would like to change my tummy. I'm growing a pot belly. So I'm exercising. I've bought an abdomen machine that's helping me to deal with it. And I want to lose weight, probably 5-8 kilos.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Hotel and apartment owners in Juba are asking the head of the National Transitional Committee, the body coordinating implementation of the River Talais Peace Agreement, to pay more than $10 million in outstanding accommodation bills of government officials staying in the hotels and apartments. A manager at Referendum Apartments says the government should pay bills in 5 days or relocate officials. The hotel owners say if the committee does not respond by next week, the officials will be thrown out and they will sue the government for non-payment. For VOA News, Ding Magot reports from Juba.
Juba Hotel and apartment owners say more than 300 government officials have been staying in their facilities without making a single payment since 2019. Joseph Chol, manager of the Referenda Apartments, spoke on behalf of 9 hotels and apartment owners at a Tuesday news conference in Juba.
They needed to look into our case and make sure that the demands that are going above $10 million is actually at least taken care of, so we can also take care of our workers and other business obligations. 5 days from now, if they don't respond to our call for the payments that we have put out there on that letter, we will actually be closing the hotels and the apartments that they are accommodating them.
Chol says hotel managers have repeatedly tried without success to speak to Tut Gatluak, chairperson of the National Transitional Committee, about the outstanding bills.
Some of the hotels have accommodated the clients since 2019. Up to date, they have not been paid, even though the government may be having a claim of having paid some of the arrears of the hotels. So we have been actually trying to reach to the NTC chairperson, that is Honorable Tuta Gadluak, my name, and we failed on all the accounts of trying to reach him.
Mel Garang Yot, general manager at South Sudan Buluk Hotel, says hotel owners are having a hard time paying the salaries of employees and maintaining their facilities because of the millions of dollars in non-payment.
Without money, we are losing now some of the technical workers because we have not paid them for almost a year or 6 months. Hotel industry need renovation regularly, you know. Yeah, now we stopped. Some of the damaging has been happening in the rooms, and people who are living there are big people. Some of them are ministers, some of them are honorable member of parliament, and some of them are general in the military.
Yod says if the National Transitional Committee fails to pay the $10 million bill soon, the hotel and apartment owners will evict the dignitaries.
We are giving them a note of only 5 days or a week to clear our bill. If they have not cleared it, then we can chase them away from the room. And then we will look for other ways of how we can get our money.
When asked for a comment on the outstanding bill of government officials, Stephen Wiu, head of the National Transitional Committee Secretariat, had this to say.
We have not received that letter, so I cannot comment on it. They were not delivered. I just said I cannot comment on it.
Yot says the hotel and apartment owners plan to meet with all 5 vice presidents, the presidential affairs minister, and the finance and economic planning minister over the next few days to discuss the way forward. The 9 hotels and apartments include the Juba Crown Hotel, Royal Hotel, Raiders Hotel, Red Ocean Hotel, Referenda Apartments, Aztec Apartments, South Sudan Hotel, World Focus Hotel, and James Hotel. Last year, some government officials were evicted from the Palm Africa and Pyramid Hotels for failing to pay their bills. When South Sudan in Focus contacted NTC chairperson Tutgat Luak for comment, an assistant who answered the phone said that Luak was busy and could not take the call. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
Recent violence in Mali, Niger, and the Central African Republic have left hundreds dead in recent weeks. But the United States envoy to Sahel region says there is hope in the West African region, as several nations have recently helped peaceful polls with more elections to come in 2021. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
The top U.S. envoy to Africa's Sahel region acknowledges that it has been a rough few weeks in the sprawling desert region, which covers the West African nations of Burkina Faso, Chad, Mali, Mauritania, and Niger. The region is beset by a wave of deadly violence from extremist groups, with more than 1,000 violent incidents in the first half of 2020, according to a report from the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. Most recently, in western Niger, extremists attacked three villages, killing more than 100 civilians. Peter Pham, the U.S. Special Envoy to the Sahel, strongly condemned the attacks in a call to journalists this week, calling the perpetrators cowardly and godless. But he quickly added, there is cause for hope, as Niger heads to a second round of presidential elections in February.
We have congratulated the people of Niger who exercised their democratic right to vote in their presidential and legislative elections on December 27th, and look forward to observing an equally successful runoff presidential election process on February 21st. These elections hold the promise of Niger's historic first peaceful transition of power from one democratically elected president to another.
It's no accident, Pham told journalists, that he mentions elections and instability in the same breath. That's because he contends that these outbreaks of violence across the region have one common cause.
The heart of the crisis in the Sahel, as I've repeatedly emphasized, is one of state legitimacy. Whether or not citizens perceive that their government is legitimate, equitable, able and willing to meet their needs. This includes ensuring justice and accountability for human rights violations and abuses committed by security forces. Absent Sahelian government actions that demonstrate this commitment, no degree of international engagement is likely to succeed.
That's why he added the majority of U.S. government assistance to the region comes in the form of health, development, and humanitarian assistance. The U.S. has invested over $1.5 billion in those sectors from 2017 to 2019. In that same time period, he said, the U.S. provided about $467 million in security assistance. Ornella Moderan, a researcher who heads the Sahel program for the Institute for Security Studies, agrees on the importance of state legitimacy. She pointed to Mali, which had a coup in August because of this very lack of confidence in the state. But, she said, to truly build legitimate governments, societies have to come together voluntarily and have genuinely inclusive dialogue. She spoke to VOA via Skype from Bamako, Mali.
Now, the question I think is, to what extent can external actors like the U.S. actually support this and accompany this? There is a need for national ownership, and there's a need for dialogue, really, between ruling elites and common Malians. This is really the root cause of where we are right now. So it's important that while we're trying to reestablish a public dialogue, a national dialogue, that we make sure that everyone is included. And this means making sure that no ethnic groups are sidelined, no religious groups, no gender groups. And this is, of course, very challenging, but very important.
Is that happening? Maybe, said Pham, pointing to recent presidential elections in Ghana and Burkina Faso, where both incumbents were re-elected. Pham was sent to both inaugurations as part of a U.S. presidential delegation. In both polls, the opposition cried foul, though the results were nevertheless certified. And both presidents have vowed to work for all citizens. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. The U.S. Congress ratified President-elect Joe Biden's victory a day after a mob of Donald Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol building. President Trump issued a statement saying there would be an orderly transition on January 20th. President Trump's former acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, quit last night, joining a list of departing officials after the president encouraged the mob outside the U.S. Capitol. Tens of thousands of Trump supporters protested in downtown Washington, D.C., then broke through barricades at the U.S. Capitol building and entered the building, forcing a lockdown for several hours. A Sudanese academic who was supposed to revamp the country's education curriculum has resigned today, citing a lack of interest from Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok. Professor Omer Garay, who headed the National Curriculum and Research Institute and was tasked with overhauling the education curriculum, says it's not easy to change the mindset of people who've lived under 30 years of authoritarian rule. At the start of a three-day conference in Khartoum this week, Sudan's Minister of General Education, Mohamed El-Amin El-Tam, said the government needs to create a school curriculum that reflects Sudan's political and societal changes since the 2019 revolution. And finally, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin on Wednesday visited Sudan, where he signed a MOU with the country's acting finance minister to give Sudan a little more than $1 billion in a loan. Money will be used to clear Sudan's debt with the World Bank. Mnuchin also signed an accord that officially declares peace between Sudan and Israel. It was the first visit by a top U.S. official since Sudan was removed from the U.S. list of state sponsors of terrorism in December. The move reestablishes economic relations between Sudan and the U.S. after 27 years of isolation. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Juba Style by Dynamic.
Whoa, na, na, na. Auma, yeah. Dynamic in a different style. Pambili bili 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 baba deng. Pambili bili 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 baba deng. Pambili bili 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 baba deng. Sudanese child, no? Watch it. Now this is dynamic, I'm the Sudanese China. Kawangware massive, semi wicked and wild. Anywhere me go, me happy bring it to my style. Give me some space, make me mash up the place. Original thing, none of them could erase. Lyrics so tough, make a boy lose the race. River Nile style, goes up like a Toria. This year one of tough, you happy pull it up again. They never know Sudanese, I do it like this. Give them Juba style in a category. African girls wanna see me blow kiss in America with some brand new kicks. Roll up in a dance in my dashiki. Ever looking fresh, I'm a VIP. Sexy body girls just a move up a hips. Tight up girls just a lick up a lips. Here comes a girls wanna holler at me. She put up a fight with the security. Them can a gal forget the glory. The way she a move, you better listen story. I tell the bartender that she know me, but me never ever 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 heard that she. Anywhere me go, me happy go in a style. Anything me do, me happy do it in a style. Lyrics them a come in a Juba full style. Juba town girls wine in a Juba style. Anywhere we go, we happy go in a style. Anything we do, we happy do it in a style. Lyrics them a come in a Juba full style. Here comes that team.
We've been listening to Dynamic with the song Juba Style. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
That riada we used to go all the time. Aruna was the king in a Honda motorbike. Juba full girl sitting right by my side. They never know Juba could ride so rough. Anything we do, we just do it so tough. This one I dedicated to you. How me say? Anywhere me go, me happy go in a style. Anything me do, me happy do it in a style. Lyrics them a come in a Juba full style. Juba town girls wine in a Juba style.